الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on all His prophets and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic of today's presentation is the message of Jesus Christ. But before we can look or research into this topic, we have to maintain an objective view. We cannot allow our emotions to cloud our vision and thereby blind us from the truth. When we look at the variety of religions and beliefs around the world, and the fervor with which people hold these beliefs, it becomes quite evident that these people are not able to find the truth because of their emotional commitment to their beliefs. This emotional commitment is not based on an intellectual understanding, but on cultural influences, because they were brought up in a particular family, in a particular society. Then they will cling on to the beliefs of the society, believing somehow that they are upholding the truth by emotionally committing themselves to the beliefs of their environment. However, we have seen quite practically through human history that emotion blinds. And the only way in which we may find the truth about anything is to approach it first intellectually. We weigh the evidence and we judge by means of the mind which God has given us. And after determining what is the objective truth, then we must commit ourselves to it emotionally. So there is a place for emotional commitment, but emotional commitment must come after a reasoned understanding. That emotional commitment is essential because, in fact, it is evidence of a true understanding. Because when one understands the reality, one should then be prepared to do whatever is necessary to uphold that reality. Looking at the topic at hand, the message of Jesus Christ, we can see that the topic is divided into two basic parts: the message and the person, Jesus Christ. Jesus represents a common link between Islam and Christianity, and it is based on this link that we will research, look into the message of this person. To look into the message, we have two possible approaches. We have the approach based on revealed material, revelation, divine books of God, and we have the historical approach, gathering historical evidence to establish the facts concerning the matter. In reality, there is very little historical evidence available to tell us about whom Jesus was, and from that to determine what his message was in fact. What we have to depend on in reality is the revealed books, those held by Christianity and those held by Islam. But for us to analyze the information contained in these divine books of Revelation, it is essential for us first to determine the validity of these documents. If we look at the Bible, the Old and New Testament, as being a source of divinely revealed material, we have to analyze the source to determine, is this in fact divinely revealed? Is it the work of man? Or is it a combination of both? Similarly, we will have to look at the other source of divinely revealed information, that of the Quran. In starting with the Bible, for one to claim that it is in fact the divine word of God, without any doubt, there should be no contradiction, no doubt about the material that is there, no doubt about the authors of this material, and on that basis, we can then consider the material contained in the New Testament and the Old Testament to be a reliable source of proof concerning the message and the person of Jesus Christ. When we come to the Bible and we look, what we in fact find, as has been documented by many scholars from the various sects and branches of Christendom, and confirmed also by Islamic scholarship, we find that in fact the material there is doubtful. I have, for example, here an article from Newsweek, October the 31st, 1988, page 44, the heading of which is, O Lord, who wrote thy prayer? This article discusses the famous prayer known to every Christian, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc., etc. This is equivalent to the Fatiha, or the opening chapter of the Quran, for Muslims, in the sense that it is considered like the fundamental form of prayer used by Christians, and the Fatiha is the fundamental form of prayer used by Muslims. A group of theologians from the major Protestant sects and Roman Catholic scholars in the United States have concluded that the only words of the Lord's Prayer that can be attributed to Jesus without a doubt is Father. From the beginning, Our Father. Everything else after that, they believe, has been added. We look further, we have a document put out by the Jehovah's Witness in which they identify that there are over 50,000 errors in the Bible. They point out in it a number of key verses from the Old and New Testament, which scholars have concluded were added at a much later date than the collection of these books. For example, they mention the passage He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. This is in reference to a woman who was an adulteress who was to be stoned. They state quite clearly here, it is not found in several of the older manuscripts of the Bible. The New World Translation of the Bible sets aside the first 11 verses from the rest of the text of John chapter 8. It is given a footnote which shows that the Synoptic manuscript, the Vatican MS number 1209, and the Synoptic Kyrillic Codex do not contain these words. And these documents, being the oldest of the documents from the 4th century, have caused the scholars to conclude that these words cannot be attributed to Jesus. Even one of the famous or favorite passages which are used to point to reference in the Holy Scriptures of Trinity attributed to Jesus in the first letter of John 5, verses 7 and 8, which states, "And the Spirit is the witness, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree." One of the scholars, biblical scholars, Benjamin Wilson, writes, "This text concerning the heavenly witness is not contained in any Greek manuscript which was written earlier than the 15th century." These point to the fact that there are serious discrepancies in the material contained in the Bible. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, though it is considered by the scholars to be the oldest of the Gospels, they have concluded, based on the evidence contained, that Mark himself was not a disciple. And there is question amongst them as to who Mark really was. Some hold that he was the scribe of Peter, and others hold that he was someone else. So the earliest of the Gospels, Mark, is of questionable authorship. And when we go through the other Gospels, what we find is a similar doubt which has been raised as to the validity of the attribution of these Gospels to the disciples of Jesus. In the Old Testament, we find, for example, in terms of contradictions, in the 2 Samuel 24, the numbering, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, Go, number Israel and Judah." In 1 Chronicles 21, the same passage is repeated, the numbering, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." This is a major discrepancy. In one, it is the anger of the Lord. In another, it is Satan. I'm mentioning a few of these because of the fact that quite often the contradictions which are in the Bible are mentioned in a general sense, and Christians up mention one contradiction. So, since they usually ask that, save them asking that during the answer period, I'm mentioning a few from the Old and New Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have 20 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 2, in reference to the same thing, we have 40 and 2 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Was he 22 or was he 42? In the New Testament, when we compare the genealogy of Jesus from David in both Matthew 1 verses 6 to 16 and Luke 3 verses 23 to 31, we find a major discrepancy. Jesus in Matthew has 26 parents between himself and David, but in Luke he has 41. And when we compare the names and we put them in two lists, we find that the names vary. They both start off with Joseph, funnily enough, as described as being the father of Jesus. But then, for example, in Matthew, it goes to Joseph's grandfather's father as being Jacob. And in Luke, he is Eli, etc., etc. Back to the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel 24, verse 13, we find, "So God came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee?" In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 11, we have the same incident. "So God came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Choose thee, either 3 years famine or 3 months, to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee." In one case, it is 7 years of famine. In the other, it is 2 years of famine. And the contradictions go on and on. These contradictions go so far as to be in dispute as to who were the 12 disciples of Jesus. The 12 apostles whom Christendom holds in high esteem in Matthew 10 verses 2 to 4 are different than in Luke verses 6 verses 14 to 16. Different names are mentioned. So if these contradictions exist in the Gospel and in the Old Testament account, we can assuredly say that the Bible cannot be an authentic source for establishing who was Jesus or what was his message. We are left with the Quran. The Quran, the word of God revealed to the last of the prophets, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be on him and on all the prophets, was written down during the lifetime of the prophet himself. Historically, the Old and New Testament cannot be ascribed to the times of those to whom they were sent or revealed. Furthermore, the Quran was memorized from beginning to end during the lifetime of the Prophet himself and after his time by an increasing number of people. Till today, there exist tens of thousands of people around the world who have memorized the whole Quran from beginning to end. Every year in Mecca and in other Muslim centers, there are contests which are held among those who have memorized the Quran to establish those whose recitation is among the best and those whose memories have served them the best.
when one goes through the Quran, one finds a consistency of thought and a consistency of presentation. We do not find a storybook where a story begins with the introduction of characters, is developed, then a climax is reached, and a conclusion presented. This is not the format in which the Quran presents its information. What we find instead is God speaking directly to man, talking about his relationship with God, as well as his relationship with his fellow man and with the creation around him. Advice is given to him with regard to faith. Laws are set for him to govern his relationship with other human beings. And advice is given to him in terms of his facing and dealing with the trials of this life. Explanations are given as to the reasons for the trials, and descriptions are given of the people of the past, as well as of heaven and hell, of the unseen, so that man may be better aware of the world in which he lives and the purpose for which he was brought here. So it is from the Quran, containing the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that we can find a means of determining who Jesus was and what was his message. We can also use the Quran to determine to what degree there exists within the Bible some revealed word of God. Because we find in the Quran that God has commanded the believers to accept as a part of their faith that divine word was revealed to Moses, may God's peace and blessings be on him, in the book known as the Torah, or the Torah. The Prophet David, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in the Psalms, or in Arabic known as the Zabur, as well as the Prophet Jesus, in what is known as the Injil, or the Gospel. We are obliged to believe in them, those who have declared their faith in God and submitted themselves to God according to the way prescribed by the last messenger of God, Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. So knowing that, we are required, those who commit themselves are required to believe in the former messages, we are then able, or then required to some degree, to find out to what degree there exists in the former messages truth from God, so that we may help those who believe in these books come to the whole truth about God, about man, and the messengers who were sent to guide man to the way of God. So coming back to the basic topic at hand, which was the message of Jesus Christ, let us look first at who was Jesus. From the source, in which we have no doubt as to its authenticity, we find in chapter 61, verse 6, God saying, Jesus, son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, see, I am a messenger of Allah to you, confirming what was before me in the Torah, and bringing good news of a messenger who will come after me, whose name is the Praised One, Ahmed. Jesus, throughout the Quran, is identified as a messenger of God. And we find in the verses a denial of Jesus' divinity. Wherein God says, they indeed have disbelieved who say, Allah is the Messiah, son of Mary. Say, who then can do anything against Allah? If he had willed to destroy the Messiah, son of Mary, and his mother, and everyone on earth. Allah's sovereignty is over the heavens and earth, and all that is between them. He creates what he wills, and Allah is able to do all things. This is the record of the Quran, wherein we are required to believe in the messengership of Jesus. We find at the same time within the New Testament evidence which also supports it. In Revelation 1, verse 1, we find Jesus saying, this is a revelation God gave to Jesus Christ, that he might show his servants what must happen very soon. In John 5, 24, the man who hears my word, Jesus is saying, and who has faith in him who has sent me, possesses eternal life. In Luke, Jesus said to them, to other towns I must announce the good news of the reign of God, because that is why I was sent. In John 14:24, he who does not love me does not keep my word. Yet the word you hear is not mine. It comes from the Father who sent me. And there are no end of verses in the Quran, as well as verses in the New Testament, which confirm the messengership of Jesus, that he was a prophet of God. We find Jesus saying, for example, in Mark chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day or hour, no man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father. Jesus confirms that he has no knowledge of the final hour. This is also in the Quran, in reference to Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, as well as all of the prophets and all of mankind. The knowledge of the hour is known only to God. So the Islamic view is that Jesus, as I said, was a prophet of God. He was given miracles, some of which are mentioned in the Bible, the New Testament, as well as the Quran. And some of which are mentioned in the Quran and not even mentioned in the Bible. We find, for example, where the Quran identifies the fact that Jesus was a messenger of God from his birth. After Mary had borne him, and people came to her, questioning her as to how she could have committed such a vile sin, the sin of fornication. She had vowed not to speak, and instead pointed to the child which was in this cradle. And the people said, as mentioned in the Quran, how can we talk to one who is in the cradle, a young boy? And Jesus spoke, see, I am the slave of Allah. He has given me the book and has appointed me.